Hey everybody, Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Happy fucking Monday. Shit, man, mid-May, then it's going to be June, then it's going to be July, then it's summertime. Yeah, man, summertime. People are in a good mood, I feel like, on a whole, you know? Even though this is the first Trump summer. The summer of Trump. Oh, God. I didn't think we'd make it. So I'm actually pumped that we're going to make it, you know? Some people were like, God, this is a Trump summer. But it's like, dude, we made it to summer with Trump. Look at it like that. Fuck, that motherfucker. Just topping himself with crazy every week. But you know what? Not going to talk about it. That's what the podcast is for. To distract and bring some humor to the world and to your guys' ears and lives. Today's episode is just that. The perfect guy to do that. He's an ALN favorite. He's been on many times. You know him from Dumb and Dumber, Something About Mary, Rocket Man, his Comedy Central special, his Conan and Letterman appearances, his new show Puppy Dog Pals on Disney and Disney Junior on Friday mornings, which you got to check out. He created it and does the voice of Bob the owner. He's just one of the best, one of the funniest dudes of all time, and lucky to call him a friend. It's the one and only Harlan Williams returning and bringing the heat and bringing the hilarity. Man, Harlan just went on a trip to the Amazon, which we talk about for a great deal of time, because holy shit, the Amazon, Harlan Williams and the Amazon should be a special on its own. We also talk about his new special that he's getting ready to shoot. His new special, Harlan is one of those original innovators. He doesn't do things by the book. He does them his own way, which is why he's created such a name for himself and such a, you know, such a following and such a career. He's filming a special June 22nd at the Irvine Improv. Tickets are at improv.com. He's doing it as Caramel Corn the Pug. Harlan Williams is doing a special as a dog. He's doing it in a voice. He's doing it in a dog outfit. He's gonna it's unbelievable. And as he told me before a podcast, he goes, it could be great or it could just fucking be the craziest, worst thing ever. I think it's gonna be the first of those choices, because Harlan does his thing and always delivers. So June 22nd, Irvine Improv. If you want to see Harlan Williams as Caramel Corn the Pug do a stand-up special, go see that shit. June 22nd, Irvine Improv. Tickets at improv.com. Follow Harlan on Twitter at Harlan Williams. Listen to his podcast, The Harlan Highway. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy, at Funny Brad, at Ailen Podcast, Ailen Podcast on Instagram, Brad Williams Comic on Instagram, and Adam Ray Comedy on Instagram. Brad Williams and I this weekend are going to be in Las Vegas Thursday through Saturday at the Crapshoot Comedy Festival. Get your tickets at crapshootcomedyfestival.com. Saturday's the big show. That's when we're doing a live ALN podcast at the El Cortez Casino with Beth Stelling, Ryan Sickler, and Chris Porter as our guests. So please get tickets and come out and see us. 5 p.m. the El Cortez Casino, About Last Night Live. Tickets at crapshootcomedyfestival.com. And then Brad and I will be on the road coming up here a bunch. AdamRayTV.com for all my dates. I'm in Reno at the Laugh Factory May 30th through June 4th. And BradWilliamsComedy.com for all his tour dates. AboutLastNightPodcast.com for your shirts and hats. Buy that shit. Bring them to the shows. We'll sign them. Take pics. You could have a chance to be fan of the week. And comment and rate the podcast on iTunes. I can't stress that enough. Take 2 seconds right now where you're listening to the intro. Click that 5-star rating and comment on the iTunes page. We're going to start doing something next week where we read comments and just give shout-outs to all you ALN lovers. Because we appreciate the love. We want to share it back, man. You guys really enjoyed that Bert Kreischer episode, which I can't thank you enough for. That was just the best. His stories are just insane. Also, we want to start doing something where we again, give thanks to you guys, the listeners. So I want to hear from you guys. Email us at aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com. I want to hear your stories, your ALN stories. I want to hear where you listen to the podcast, how long you've been listening, what your favorite parts of the podcast is, how it helps you get through your workday, any and all of that stuff in a nice little paragraph. Send it to aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com, and we're going to read those live on the podcast and give you guys some shout-outs and some chance to win some merch. So again, where you listen to the pod, how long you've been listening, what you love about it, your name, where you're from, And you know what? Email us that in a paragraph, but also if you want to email us like a little voice memo from your iPhone, email that too, and we might just play that live on the podcast. All right? So aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com. Send your ALN moments, memories for us, and we'll share them on the pod and send you some merch. How's that sound? So many great apps coming up. Joey Lawrence, Brendan Schaub, Jimmy O. Yang from Silicon Valley, Jamie Kennedy, Jordan Black from Return of the Mac. Holy shit. Efron, as I mentioned, we're working that date out. It's going to happen in the next 2 weeks. Just confirmed, Sal Vulcano from Impractical Jokers next week, which I cannot fucking wait for. So make sure you subscribe on iTunes so you can get all the fun. All right, now we got the tour dates out of the way, the Twitter handles, the merch info, Return of the Mac, by the way, new episode Wednesday, 8:30 on Pop TV. Check it out. Now that we got that out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with the one and only Harlan Williams.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and no podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
See what you guys put me through this time.
Well, I mean... How about what you put us through? Because you're looking very tan, and then I go on your Twitter, and it turns out you went to the Amazon.
Yeah, I just got back like 2 days ago, actually.
It sounds like the start of like an old-timey joke. I just got back from the Amazon, and boy, is my skin Zika'd.
Zika'd.
I hate to start it off with like a... like a Byron Allen kind of thing, like, so Harlan, you were just in the Amazon.
Yeah, right.
But
too late, you already did. Yeah. Wow. You Byron Allen me and Zeke'd me all within the first 30 seconds.
I've been known to Zika some people. And so Adam, you used to work as a cashier at
Albertsons.
At Albertsons. Well, tell us about that.
Look, man, it's like you're talking to people for 40 seconds about what? Pop Tarts?
Oh, that's so funny. Harlan, you have an interesting name for selfies. What do you call those?
Nice.
I actually call them Byrons. Yeah.
Wait, you were telling me before you went that you every year you try to take a Harlan vacation, right?
That's right.
A me trip.
That's right. That's what it was. It was every year I try to take time out of my year to do something that it's like I look at the world as our house. Mm-hmm. And imagine you had a house, but you didn't go in a ton of the rooms.
Yeah.
So I always picture places on the planet, different countries, different locales as those rooms. So ever since as a kid, I've wanted to experience this planet and go to different places. And so
it's so easy to get caught in your own bubble, right?
Yeah. You forget that there's a whole world out there. And then one day you go, man, I missed a lot. So I was one of those guys that never wanted to miss that. So... The Amazon River, I'm a nature guy, and the Amazon River was always on my radar. So I've been kind of planning something for many years, and I finally did it last week. So
it really, when you we have Planet Earth now and shows like that can capture it so well that I think a lot of people go, they're like, have you been to Antarctica? Yeah, and I was in the comfort of my own home.
Right,
I saw the Great Barrier Reef. It was very colorful, and I did it all while masturbating eating Cheetos.
Oh my goodness.
Jesus.
Wow, is Byron. That the name of a fish?
Masturbating Cheetos.
Masturbating Cheetos.
Well, because it kind of looks like the Nemo fish. It's orange, but then it has white blotches instead of stripes. Yeah.
What do you?
That's being Cheeto fish.
Wow. It all makes sense. It only has one eye.
What do you love most about nature? Because you even did a stand-up special called Force of Nature, where you were, which people I highly recommend if you haven't seen it. Go. It's one of the most unique specials of all time because you're literally in the desert. And the audience are animals and air.
No. Audience, so if you're ever the type of person that is watched either a stand-up special or maybe a sitcom and being like, they didn't really laugh at that, watch Harlan special.
Nobody laughs.
Nobody
yeah.
laughs.
Yeah.
But what like nature in general, what interests
well,
you?
Well, I like the unpredictability of nature.
Yeah.
I like the mm-hmm. beauty. I like the rawness. I like that it's real. You know, it's not manufactured.
Yeah.
Everything in nature is 100% authentic. And
yeah.
so there's no animatronics, there's no buildings, there's no
right.
Cheesecake Factory. It's just ants' nests and life and death and energy. And
shout out to our new sponsors, the Cheesecake Factory. The Cheesecake Factory is now a new sponsor of the podcast.
Try our delicious army ant salad and gazelle throat pie.
And our masturbating Cheeto fish.
Oh, for dessert, our masturbating Cheeto fish cheesecake.
Pretty delightful.
Just add
with
cheesecake
condom
to the end.
On top.
Yeah. Right. Well, you gotta be safe.
Yeah, right.
Harlan, I like that you said that because I mean, I recently did some traveling as well, where I went to Hawaii,
yeah.
and I got to snorkel, and there were sea turtles out there.
Oh yeah,
and it's so cool when you talk about the unpredictability because I'm sitting there 3 feet away from a sea turtle, like. This sea turtle could just turn and look at me and go, you know what? I'm going to bite that.
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
I have yeah. no, like, there's no protection. There's a shark could come out of nowhere.
And you're the that in this scenario?
Yeah, I'm the okay. that okay. where he goes like, well, that's weird. I haven't seen a dwarf
you're,
fish
you're
before.
You're more to me than that, though. I don't like it when you denigrate yourself.
Aww.
Just to, imagine
sweet,
seeing a that floating in the ocean, in the Hawaiian Ocean. There's like a jellyfish, a turtle, and that.
Yeah.
It's also
in a Speedo. That in a Speedo.
Referring to anything is that. Like,
yeah.
it's like, hey, well, is this your, who's your, aren't you, isn't your wife here? Yeah, it's that.
Yeah. That's that.
That's that over there.
No, but it is amazing, right? You just
yeah.
don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
What was your favorite creature that you came into contact with?
Well, one thing that was really cool is there was a few, actually. I caught a piranha, so I pulled a piranha up out of the river, which was really fascinating
like
to me.
Like, actual piranha, like, it can bite you, it's
yes.
got the teeth and everything.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
How'd you catch it?
We put some like, meat on the end of a hook,
some
and I
chum.
Caught it. Some delicious steak or something, you know?
Yeah.
So that was fascinating. I also, we went to a little village. And one of the little boys, you know, this was a jungle village, had a baby sloth hanging on his stomach. And he let me hold, his pet was a baby sloth, so
yeah.
he let me,
I
got
yeah, to you
hold
have
that.
A you have a video of that
on my Instagram.
On your Instagram.
Rainforest from the Amazon.
There it is.
The local villagers.
Yeah.
Handed me his baby sloth.
This thing is the cutest
yeah,
thing I've ever seen.
He's
yeah.
just almost as adorable as me.
And it started like giving me little Eskimo kisses on
yeah.
my nose.
Oh my God.
And then the more adventurous stuff, at night we went out on a boat with a flashlight and you shine the light along the shoreline and you look for caiman eyes, which is
kind of like a deer.
No,
type
it's like
thing,
a
no?
crocodile.
Oh.
It's a smaller version of a crocodile.
Oh wow.
And I laid down on the front of the boat and we sped up on and I tried to like grab one out of the water behind, you know, behind its head on its neck. So
why would you do that?
Just the guides said let's go for it. And I was like, let's go for it, man.
Wow.
So that was really exciting. And then also we found like a 10-foot anaconda and one of the guys caught it and I had it around my neck and I was holding it. And it was
oh.
just amazing to feel it actually started to kind of
tighten up
yeah. around
yeah,
my,
yeah, yeah.
my neck. And,
that's
just,
when you panicked?
That's when I just about died. But it was just, you know, it was really cool, really exciting.
Do you,
so.
You like traveling by yourself, yeah?
Well, actually, I went with my buddy
oh, that's right,
Michael
Mike.
Rosenbaum.
That's right, yeah.
yeah. Mm-hmm. Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll go by myself or I'll go with whoever wants to go. I'd planned the trip on my own. Told him and he was like, I want to go. And I was like, come on, man.
It's
come on, Lex.
What is the journey like there?
The journey's not fun. It's a lot of flights because you're going to a remote place. So it was like 2 days of traveling to get there.
Wow.
So that was hell, airport hell. But once we got there, it was unbelievable.
Take some boats and stuff?
10 out of 10. Yeah.
yeah
it was great.
Do you experience some interesting food? I know one of the other Instagram videos, there was like a tub of these worm things.
Yeah, right.
And
they eat larvae. They eat
yeah.
giant. They look like giant white maggots, and they're like moth larvae that they pull out of the palm trees, and they boil them, they fry them, they eat them. They're really
oh
they're really big. But yeah, we ate some local fish. I actually ate some piranha. I
wow.
turned the
like.
Tables.
Yeah, exactly.
It tastes like dangerous chicken. Yeah,
dangerous chicken.
Yeah.
Now they just played Coachella.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're a great band.
Oh, God, I love them. Do they still do that song, Suck My Flesh?
They do. They close with that.
Oh, God.
That's. I mean, we always joke about weird band names on this podcast, and that's a common thing where you say, like, oh, they're playing Coachella. You have a band that actually sounds like one of these weird band names. Your band is called Rattlesnake Love?
No, the band's really generic. It's called The Cousins.
Oh, the album. The album's called Rattlesnake Love. I'm sorry. Yeah,
no problem. But it probably would be a better name. Rattlesnake Love is
than just
cool.
The Cousins?
Yeah. We called it The Cousins because we're actually cousins. My cousin Kevin and me, and he's in the Bare Naked Ladies, and he's just this really talented musician, and I somehow am able to write lyrics and sing, and so... We put out a brand new album. It's on iTunes. Thanks for bringing it up.
Fuck, dude. Huh?
No problem.
Well, how was that to make an album? I think I heard you tell this story on Corolla, but it was like you guessed it on some of his tracks, right? Or
on Kevin?
Yeah,
no,
he heard.
No, we've just been singing and playing music our whole lives, and so we finally were like, let's run some of our kooky songs through a studio and get them produced and processed. And when they came out the other side, we were pretty happy with them. We were kind of surprised. They felt good. They sounded good. So Kevin got fired up and wanted to do a whole album. And so we did Rattlesnake Love.
What's one of your favorite tracks on it?
Well, I love the title track, Rattlesnake Love, because... A guest vocalist came in, a woman named Carol Pope, who was a huge rock star in Canada in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
She did a song called High School Confidential. I don't know if you guys have ever heard it.
I have not.
It was a pretty huge radio hit. And so she came in, and she was a woman I'd listened to my whole, like, going through college growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And she walked into the studio. It was the first night I ever met her, and 20 minutes later she was in the booth and we were singing this duet together.
Oh my God.
That I had just written sitting on the couch in the studio. So
it was
really exciting.
That's what's,
yeah.
Those moments are what's so cool about this business, right?
Yeah.
It's only this business where you get maybe that, and you know, if you work at the Cheesecake Factory.
There it is.
We could fuck to this.
Oh, yeah.
That's you, yeah? That's
yeah,
you singing.
That's me singing.
What a good voice, huh?
Thanks.
That sounds like the music that, like, is playing in a 1970s sitcom as like they're walking in. It's cool.
Maybe.
It's groovy.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different instruments going on there.
Yeah,
too.
Well, the flute you heard in there is from
Kenny G.
No, he passed away. He was hit by a tuba. What's the song Big Hands? You know the band that does that.
Against.
Let me go down.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Is that the Smiths?
Violent Femmes?
Violent Femmes.
Yes. Well, I don't know how I pulled that one.
Yeah. That's the one of the band members from the Violent Femmes doing the flute.
Oh, no kidding.
Really
he had a cast of characters come in to lay
down
some... Yeah,
that guy drove all the way up here. My cousin Kevin said, hey, me and Har are in the studio tonight. You want? He drove all the way up from San Diego just to play flute for an hour and then drove back.
Oh, my
amazing.
Blaze, and he's like a really cool guy.
His name is Blaze?
Yeah, Blaze, yeah. Talented guy.
Well, if your name's Blaze, you either got to be like a shaman or a band member.
Yeah, really, right?
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, you don't want to work at the burn center.
No. Here's your Dr. Blaze. Yeah. Come on! Too soon!
Oh!
Too soon! Now, you're a comedian, though, so when you're doing a band and when you're making an album, is there like a little voice in the back of your head that says, make this funny, or did you try to play it for real?
No,
or?
Just the opposite. It's actually a good getaway from being funny, mm-hmm. you know? I kind of, when I go into songwriting mode, I kind of tap more into my emotions and my mm-hmm. feelings. And so a lot of the songs are actually like love songs and touching, you know, kind of emotional songs about pain and love and death.
So do you have a special relationship with a rattlesnake as a kid, and that's what you wrote about?
The rattlesnake, my cousin said, let's go. And I said, all right. And I literally walked into a sound booth that was enclosed that night. He started playing outside. He had his guitar. And I just started singing. I had no idea when I walked in it was going to be about snakes or rattlesnakes or love. And that song came out. We did that whole song in one night. It was ridiculous.
I love
that.
Like,
yeah.
Is it what? Is, it's cool to see. I mean, Kev's been in the business for a long time. So yeah. It's like he's just a pro as far as like orchestrating how the whole session is going. Like, all right, sing this and let's add this. Or is he like, hey, Art, what do you think about this? And
we split it. I kind of direct the sound of the song, yeah. Like where it's going to go. And I say, okay, I want to hear it like, and then he'll play that. And then once we kind of have that sound, then he'll come in with his own stuff. And then I'll say, how about an electric guitar riff right here? And
yeah.
we just start layering it. It's like cooking an exotic meal. You just keep throwing things in and layering it. And that's what I love about it, because you watch the thing, like, you know, get creative right in front of your eyes. And with every pass you hear it, it's really stimulating.
It is crazy that that's how songs get built. Like, I even have heard like old Michael Jackson like sessions where he was like, you know, he was singing that, and then you'd hear like kids in the background be like, get out of here, I'll see you later. And then he was like, and then they
get
would
get out
do,
of here. Yeah. I don't think he said that a lot about come over here. How about that?
Witnesses. Mm-hmm. But like, and now you've known, I mean, obviously he's your cousin, so you've known him your entire life.
Yeah.
Now, as a kid, was he like the music kid?
Yeah, always. He was always. He went to choir school. He was always playing music, always listening. I mean, he was just born with the music. And he's just, you know, he's really great, because once we kind of get the song down, he goes in and he'll hear if even, like, we'll be going through a whole song with all the instruments, boom, 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 like, you know, 18 tracks playing, and he'll start, he goes, hold on. And we're like, what? He goes, that C sharp was out of tune. I'm like, what? And he goes, yeah. And then we'll roll the tape. He'll isolate one note, and I'm not even joking, one note that wasn't, and I'm just, no one else would ever hear it, but he just, this is how meticulous he is. It's I actually love sitting back and watching him go. That's a great part of the process for me too. So it's really cool. I'm lucky I have such a talented cousin, because to like share in his talents.
Now, do you have other family members that have tried to make it in show business that have failed, where you're like, well, we got one famous comedian actor, and then the other's in the Bare Naked Ladies. Like, what the fuck are
The
fuck have you
done?
Do
you have a famous, like, you know, cobbler?
Cobbler? I like blueberry. Blueberry cobbler's good.
Isn't that like a...
Shoemaker, yeah. No cobblers in my family.
All right, well, this has been Harlan Williams on the About Last Night podcast.
Yeah, wow. And out.
But I want people to know, because I've seen you sing. We sang together.
Yeah. We did a show together.
At the goddamn Comedy Jam in Montreal.
That's right.
And you sang Rush, where...
No, I sang War Pigs by Black Sabbath.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. And like, you can sing. So I don't want people to be like, oh, a comedian just trying to become a rock star. Like, no, you got some pipes.
You see a lot of actors try to make the trend, like Kevin Bacon has a band.
Russell Crowe, Keanu
I just
Reeves.
Saw Donald Sutherland on, I think it was, I want to say Rachel Ray or the Bonnie Hunt Show. One of those daytime.
Oh, wow.
It was like, I think it was The Talk or The Chew or The Fuck or The Suck.
The Vomit.
One of those daytime.
I think it was The Fart, yeah.
By the way, what a great daytime show.
The Fart?
Yeah, from the makers of The Chew come The Fart.
Fart. Oh,
we need to just pitch that show and just have just like four comedians. Oh, yeah. So they're going to talk about current events. No, they're just going to fart. They're just going to fart into microphones.
Bring back Star Jones if you're going to do that.
The gassiest of the gassers.
Like, bean burrito blaster.
She was always, that's why she left The View.
Was it?
Yeah.
The Pew.
No, but Donald Sutherland was playing, and he was like, he was full-on rock star, like doing every, you could tell he was just, you know, he was doing, mimicking every rock star move.
Oh, geez.
And like, he ended the whole get up, and he was like, fucking, he'd, you know, strum up to the mic and then play a couple notes and sing. He's like, my baby sang on the dance in the flute of the sea. And then he'd back away and he was like fucking bobbing his head. And I was like, dude.
Donald or Kiefer?
Kiefer.
Okay, because I was going to say, Donald's like 80, so I'm actually quite impressed by this.
What old folks home are you hanging around at, dude?
Like, my God.
The Bean Burrito Factory.
But the thing with my thing is I'm not trying to be a rock star. It's,
I know.
It's literally
but
a
that's
side,
what I love
because I've been
totally.
Doing it so long with my cousin. It's not like all of a sudden I went, oh, I want to be a rock star.
Yeah.
This is stuff we've been doing our whole life, so it's like we did it, and now it's just there.
Yes.
But I don't sit around and think about it and go, okay, how do I become a rock? It's just there.
And that's why I love it.
I like putting the music out in the ether,
and
if someone wants it, that's all it is.
It's great.
You know?
Although it would be cool to see Rattlesnake Love live.
It would be. I'd love to do it, but we have no plans.
Yeah.
We have no tour. We have no concert.
Well, because he's touring with the Bare Naked Ladies.
Yeah.
You're touring doing stand-up and TV and movies and your new show, which we're going to talk about. And,
thank you.
Yeah, like to stop and say, all right, now the cousins are going to tour for a month.
Yeah.
You'd all be taking a severe pay cut.
And I wouldn't mind. I would do it. We did a small tour like about 10 years ago. We did before we put an album out, where we were just kind of goofing around. We did a little 5-city tour. We had a bus and everything. It was a blast. So
there you go.
We've performed live, but the album isn't about turning the corner and becoming a rock star. It's,
right.
Yeah. It's just for fun, really.
It's just something fun to do.
Yeah.
And
you're not trying to be the next Cher. Yeah.
Well, let's not say that.
I mean, what a career. So,
do you believe in love after?
What a rear! She got the car part.
She's still performing. She's in Vegas.
She is.
Yeah.
Shit! Well, I better tell her she's at my house right now. Wow.
She's got a show to do.
Makeup smears on my pillow slip. Unbelievable.
You just have a Cher face.
Oh,
just implanted into your pillow.
The amount of pillows people could sell on eBay that Cher has just destroyed with her eyeliner.
Oh, you should see the hair clog in my shower. It looks like a Hamburglar. One of those French fry things.
She calls it the pube monster.
Yeah, right. It's like
opening
those
up for the cousins, the pube monster.
Remember when you used to those things? You'd attach your hose to that octopus, and it would fly all over your yard.
That's
what the hair clog in my shower looks like from Cher.
Now when you're growing up, are you and your cousin into the same kind of music? Is it rock? Is it like
it's weird because he likes more like weird. I think he likes to lean more towards the comedy stuff.
Yeah.
But every time we play, I always bring it back to like You Broke My Heart and I Love You and my last breakup and everybody's in pain. So he's just kind of follows me like he's amused and surprised by the stuff that I come up with, like he had no idea Rattlesnake Love would be what it is, and at the end he really loved it. And I had him do we did like a rave song called Power Pound, which was way out of his wheelhouse.
Power Pound, I think I think I rented that the other night.
I know, it sounds...
saw a clip on ujizz.com.
Oh.
Number, did you get 2 or 3? Or did you watch the original?
Oh, see, well, I had to watch the original because I wanted to watch the third one, and I had to know what the plot points were.
Yeah.
So I decided to go back and watch Power Pound 1.
How'd you like the albino?
Oh, unexpected.
Yeah, right.
Completely unexpected.
Right.
You're like, oh my God, it's a blackout. Then all of a sudden, not so much.
Were you surprised to find out that the owner of the orphanage was also the dominatrix?
Mm-hmm. See, they always keep you guessing. It's like N. Night Shyamalan. Like, you think you know, but then you don't know. Because you see that orphanage, it's like, it's an orphanage. That's innocent. Yeah. That's fun.
It's a bunny ranch.
It's a bunny ranch.
What about
insane.
Licorice Willie? Did you like him?
Wasn't a fan of him.
He's a bit harsh.
Brought up some bad memories from my past.
Sure.
So this is.
But I like that Donald Sutherland did the soundtrack.
Oh yeah, he was great.
Yeah,
really rocked.
Kiefer wanted it, but Donald's like, no, I got this, son.
I love a guy who headbangs and his wig flies off. You know?
Oh my God! Speaking of that happening,
oh my God, what'd you do?
I was in St. Louis like a month ago, and I was at this.
My favorite saint, by the way.
I was at this Benihana style restaurant.
This is Power Pound.
Yeah, this is Power Pound.
This is perfect for the story.
Yeah.
I was at a Benihana style restaurant, right? Where they cook the food in front of you. And the guy was doing a thing where he's like, hey, I'm going to toss the shrimp in your mouth.
Yeah.
Right? Everyone open their mouths. And I was like, all right. And then he
And put his cock in it.
They put his cock, and then he threw the shrimp on my back, and wow. I was like, "What am I?"
That's called the Benihana, by the way.
Yeah. That's yeah. his dick in your mouth.
That's
and puts
Japanese for cocksucker, Benihana. Yeah. People don't know that. Yeah,
Benihana.
That's Japanese for cocksucker.
Wait, and what? Wait, so what is P.F. Chang's Japanese for?
Well, have you ever done anal?
So he's tossing the shrimp and he tosses it on a kid's face. He missed it. Tosses it in my face. I miss it, but I got the cock. And then he tosses
like shrimp bukkake going.
And then
on
he
right
tosses it to this. There was a couple, and he's tosses it to this black girl, and she flips right back, and her weave just flies right off.
Nah, whoa!
Yeah,
like one of those octopuses that you attach the hose
yep,
to.
Flew right off, wow. And literally, like double you reference. Know, sometimes you yeah. see something. And it happens so unexpectedly that you can't prep how you're going to react to it.
Yeah.
Like, he flips it. Wow. He goes, hep, hep. And then he goes, ho. Oh! And then she, like, yokes back. And the wig flies right off. Wow. And I was looking right at her. And I went, oh, no. And then wow. everybody was like, oh. And then she grabbed it and caught it and put it back on. And she goes, well, that was embarrassing. And then the guy with the shrimp guy goes, I didn't even see it. Like, to try to make it better. And it was like,
how do you not see that?
Yeah. Just own it.
I gotta figure though, if you wear a wig every day or even once a week, you should at least put enough adherent on it to prevent a shrimp from knocking it off.
If you go to Benihana and you know there's cock and shrimp coming at you, know like, that your head's gonna go
put
back.
Some glue on there, you know?
Yeah.
Weird.
Would you ever wear a wig?
I have.
Not like like offset.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh really?
Yeah. I was living in Toronto. I used to work in an office building in a mailroom, and one of the girls from the other floor, it was like this place had like 20, 30 floors, and girls from other floors would come up to use the photocopy machine, you know, in my mailroom. And so one of them was very flirty with me, and we got to know each other, and she goes, I'm going to this club to dance tonight, you know, and I said, oh, cool. So just as a goof, I went home that night and put on a disguise, like a blonde wig and a Hawaiian shirt and like glasses. I put on a whole disguise and I went to the club, and sure enough, she was there. And you know, girls like to get out and dance by themselves on the dance floor.
I don't need anybody.
Right. So I just kind of got out and started dancing and just got right up to her. And I was dancing with her for about 15 minutes. She had no idea it was me. I never said anything. And then Monday I went to work and she came up to do some photos. I said, hey, how was the club? And she was like, oh, it was really fun. I said, yeah, I really liked your gold shoes. And she's like, what? And I said, yeah, and your polka dot shirt. And I like the way you had your hair up. She's like, what the hell are you talking about? She was freaked out. I said, I was dancing with you. And she goes, no, you weren't. And I still know her to this day. We're friends. And she still doesn't believe that it happened to this day.
But you still knew all the details.
I know, but she still refuses to believe that. She said, I would have known. I would have seen you. I would have. And I was literally right with her, right in front of her. So that was my little wig story. One of many, but that's the only one I'm going to give you today.
Yeah. See, I mean, I'm jealous, Harlan, because you can do a prank like that. If I try that, if I put on a wig, everybody's like, Brad, what's up?
Yeah.
Like,
they just what think holiday
it was,
is it?
They would think it was Thing from the Addams Family. Yeah.
Or That from the Cheesecake Factory.
That from the Ocean.
Is that from the Ocean?
Are you That or Thing?
Yeah.
What are you?
I'm That Thing.
When I'm in the water, I'm That. When I'm on land, I'm Thing. I'm sensing one of those old conjunction.
Yeah.
I'm That or Thing. And
would you ever, well, speaking of cartoons, you have a new show.
Yeah.
Puppy Dog Pals.
Yeah, man.
Puppy Dog Pals, which I'm happy to say, no joke, my nephew watches.
Yay,
he's three.
Awesome.
He watches the Puppy Dog Pals.
Awesome.
Yeah, he hates the owner, though. He hates that person.
He sounds like a racist.
White racist.
Says, but like every now and then, if you listen, like they throw in the N-word. It's insane. But
never.
My nieces love it, and they love Bingo. That's their favorite.
Cool. Yeah. Awesome.
7-year-old twin girls. I don't know what so it's on Disney Channel.
It's on Disney Channel and Disney Junior.
Yeah,
it's called Puppy Dog Pals. It's literally made for 2 to 5 year olds, but it's kind of one of these ones that seems to be crossing over to older, so like 2 to 10 year olds, and It's only been on the air for about a month, and,
yeah.
and it's doing really great. People are loving it.
It's about Bingo and Raleigh.
Bingo and Rolly. They're two right. little pug puppies,
yeah.
and basically they live with their owner, Bob. I do the voice of Bob.
Yep, there you go.
And basically they overhear something he says around the house, and they misinterpret that it's something that he wants, and so when he goes to work, they go out into the world and find it. Example being, he's reading the paper one morning, there's an ad for Hawaii, and he's like, boy, I'd love to feel the sand of Hawaii between my toes. He goes to work, the pugs feel like they got to go to Hawaii, get some sand, bring it home, which they do. They always beat them home by 5 o'clock, even though they go all over the world.
Yeah.
and they resolve the mission.
Yeah.
And, so it looks great. The writing's really fun, and it really... The quality of it even blew me away. It looks kind of like a CGI Pixar
totally.
Movie.
Yeah, it does.
And for like a Saturday morning cartoon, I did not think we'd be at that level, but it looks stunning. So I'm really excited about
and
it.
And you created the show.
I created it, yeah.
Now, because comics, we're some of the craziest, filthiest minds, and we hang out late at night, and we have bad thoughts. What's going through your head where you go like, you know what, I'm going to do a kid's show?
Well, I've always been immersed in that world, but you know, over my career, I've written and illustrated children's books. So I have like 9 books that I did right when I got out of college. I studied animation in college.
Yep.
I don't know if you know that, but so that's always been in my wheelhouse. And you guys know my act. I mean, it's very. I'm kind of like a big kid up
very
there.
Playful. Yeah.
Anyhow, and so. I've just been able to tap into that world of a kid's imagination, and so I've been developing animated shows and children's books and stuff like
that's
that.
That's great.
But I think what's cool is, as you said, you know, I've also done movies like Half-Baked and
right.
every
Dumb
now
and
then.
Dumber and things,
yeah,
things like that.
My act is pretty clean, but every now and then there's blue stuff. But
sure.
But I think, you know, people shouldn't separate. You know, it's not like...
it's not either or.
Yeah.
You can do both because that's what we all do. We,
exactly.
we all have times where we're hanging out with certain friends where we can be a little bluer,
right.
so to
but
speak.
But when you're around kids, you're polite and you act more like a kid. So that's kind of the way I approach my career. There's things I can do for adults, things I can do for kids,
yeah.
singing, comedy, whatever.
And,
you know?
I know Adam's probably seen this a bunch of times because he's open for you on the road, but when I see you get a heckler, you disarm a heckler in the nicest way. Like I don't want to encourage people to heckle you. I'm not saying that, but like you're so nice to them. Like you're almost so nice that they just kind of go, wait, what? I can't tell this guy to fuck off because he just told me like to go roll around in some daisies. Like I can't insult some guy like that.
Your tone of voice and the misdirection I feel like is always so. Leveling that you just don't see it coming, like and even just I'm really always impressed the way you get the smallest amount of information and then I'm able to like you're able to just turn it into a slam, like like I mean when people say like they're you're like what do you do for work and he's like I'm a web designer, you're like oh so you're a spider.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, I try to be I don't want people to leave my shows feeling hurt. I'm gonna interact with a heckler. I want it to be fun and playful and silly. And
yeah, do you have that in the booth for the when you're doing the voice? I mean, obviously the writers they write these great stories, and I love the friendship element. That's like my favorite part of the show because these guys really are going on these crazy adventures, and it's like you don't see a really good, you know, I don't know. Sometimes at animated shows where they have the characters going on these adventures, you don't still get that strong friendship theme from it.
They're just total buddies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They do everything together.
But are you in the booth, like, obviously it's your show. Like, can you riff and improvise lines, or are you usually trying to stay to the script?
You know what? We don't improvise a lot because it's tougher with animation because they animate to the voices and the script. So when you improvise in a movie, they can just shoot another take. But with animation, if you improvise, they've got to draw that improvisation.
Yeah. Right.
And that improvisation could end up costing $400,000. You know what I mean? Because they weren't slated to draw that. So So you're limited with your improvisation with animation, but right. sometimes you can get a little bit of stuff in there.
Mm-hmm. Was your voice as Bob the original go-to, or did you have other...
No, I was always Bob. I was always the Bob
voice. Were there other
voice.
Types? Did you screw around with different types of Bob voices? Or
No, I just kind of put him right in here. Like, he's always very loving. He's
yeah.
like, mm-hmm. hey, guys, how you doing? You know, mm-hmm. little buddies, how are you? yeah. So I always make sure he's... You always get the sense he's got a lot of love in his voice for his little puppies.
Yeah,
so.
And it's also and it's Disney. You can't like if it's the yeah. owner of some pups, he can't be like, "You guys good? Yeah. Have you seen my smokes, Larry? It's Bingo. Whatever. Like you, he's got to be a.
Yeah. You brought me sand from Hawaii. What? If you really want to make me happy, go get me a fifth of tequila.
You guys want a power pound or what? You guys want a power pound puppies?
Now, do you see other dog shows? Like, do you see the guys from Paw Patrol, and like you guys have a little like Jets and Sharks fight?
It's interesting. I didn't know anything about Paw Patrol yeah. until I did this, and then I kind of found out about it, and then it's a huge juggernaut.
Yeah.
And then
my nephew also loves Paw Patrol.
Yeah.
I don't want the listeners to be like, oh, Brad just sits home and watches cartoon yeah. dog shows
he
all
does.
Day.
Play hair.
Wait, is it Paw Patrol or Paw Patrol?
Paw Patrol.
Paw Patrol. No, Paw.
Paw.
Yeah, okay. Paw like P-A-W Patrol.
It's like Paw
yeah.
Patrol.
No,
you know?
It's not like a the father of a family of trolls.
yeah.
Paw Patrol.
Because I would understand why Brad was watching that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
That,
well, sure. I got to yeah. check in on my family members.
yeah, yeah. You just got an idea for a show for
yeah,
the kid.
Paw Patrol.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'm yeah. going to do that. Spell a little differently.
One Tree Hill, also based on Brad's life.
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
I come from the One Tree Hill.
Oh, wow.
That's where all dwarves come from.
Is that right?
Yeah, the One Tree Hill.
One Tree Hill.
Yeah. It's in North Dakota, ironically. Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't ever read Judy Blume? She wrote, All
no.
Dwarves Come from North Dakota.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. It was before the Super Fudge series.
I wonder if I just had a vision of a giant popcorn machine on a hill and a bunch of dwarfs popping out of it. Like movie theater popcorn.
That sounds better.
Yeah. That's how they were created. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. yeah.
One popcorn machine hill. How about that?
Popcorn Patrol.
Yeah.
There you go. So I like these shows.
Popcornopolis is just it's just where they
it's
have
just,
all the meetings.
It's just a dwarf factory.
Yeah.
That's all it is. Well, the good ones become dwarves and the bad ones go back and they're popcorn.
Talk about a business I missed out on, you know? Popcornopolis.
Yeah, dude.
Jesus, what
yeah,
a gold
you
mine.
Blew it. You blew it, bro.
trying
what
to be a comedian
flavor
and
be?
Actor.
What would your popcorn flavor
what
be?
What a great question.
Really good.
Zebra is my favorite.
There's a zebra?
Yeah, which is pretty much just like s'mores.
That's a great idea.
Zebra popcorn flavor?
Yeah, because it's like black and white chocolate sauce, so it's zebra.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah.
What would be yours?
Probably raspberry taint.
Ooh, raspberry
nice,
taint.
Nice,
yeah.
Nice.
It's a good one.
I'd probably be like, sour cream and lead paint. Just because I ate a lot of that as a kid, yeah. so it's
right.
so like a flashback.
It's nostalgic.
Yeah, yeah. Remind you of your childhood.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
Maybe gummy bear?
Oh,
right?
How about Forrest Gummy Bear? How thank you,
How about
smell
Forrest
like
Whitaker?
How about Forrest Whitaker's left eye flavor?
It just sags to the ground. You yeah. can't pick it up.
What does that taste like?
I don't know. God.
Slow.
Beef jerky?
His eye, though, man. It seems like the crazier the world gets, the more his eye closes.
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because
like
in Star Wars.
Yeah.
In Star Wars, that's he's on another planet, yeah. and it's like, oh, wow, the eye is in full effect tonight.
Yeah.
It's going.
Do you yeah. think he takes parts based on the world? Like, he's like, all right, Star Wars, the eye is going to make sense. Phenomenon, Travolta has superpowers.
Yeah,
it sure. makes sense that I'm a friend who's like, I can't believe it so much that my eye's going to fucking turn the other way because yeah. he's like, I can't face all the craziness.
You know what? Now that I think about it, that makes a lot of sense because then in Species, he played a psychic.
See?
Yeah.
So the eye kind of makes sense
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
And then what a... Ghost dog, he's like some hood samurai.
See?
Yeah, that makes sense. You're like, oh, my eye's weird because I got chopped or something like that.
And the butler, wasn't he the butler? And he
yeah.
got his eye.
Lee Daniels the butler, right?
All over the salad. But what if, would it be weird, and I'm not trying to mock the guy, but what if he just had a normal eye and every,
I don't wanna know that
few
world.
Months he like accidentally turns into a doorknob? or he's at a baseball game and a foul ball hits him in the eye, or he's canoeing and the guy in front of him whacked him with the paddle. Like, one of his eye is like just a series of eye injuries.
Right before
it's
he shoots.
It just about heals. Yeah. Like, oh, man, I'm good to go for this. But smack, a football hits him. Some kids are practicing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is that possible?
That would could be. That would be the greatest con of all time. No, wow. Forrest Whitaker actually
Let's
has
start
a
that rumor.
Two fine eyes.
Yeah.
Two
yeah.
fine eyes, the name of the documentary
yes.
about Forrest Whitaker.
Right? Well, eye, because yeah. there is the internet rumor that Stevie Wonder can actually see.
Yeah.
There is that rumor.
I don't know.
Because it shows right. him like at Laker games, like waving to the players, and it's like, how does he know?
Whoa.
It's a conspiracy.
Maybe he just pretended so he never had to like have small talk or like yeah. notice anybody at parties.
Yeah. Maybe he did it just so he can use the pickup line. I'm blind, but I know what but I know what beautiful feels like.
Oh.
Ooh. That's what I'm thinking.
You can't say that if you're not blind?
Yeah,
I can't say that.
I said that to Cher the other night.
Before she makeup rubbed your pillow.
But what about, I mean, I feel going back to Forrest Whitaker.
a sentence that doesn't get said enough.
By the way, this is the opening topic on the fart.
What about Whitaker. When he was a kid, the poor guy? Like,
I know.
Do you think he had the thing at the, like, when they were playing games, I spy with my saggy eye, something. Like, what did he do?
Hide and seek. He's like, I can see you. You're like, really, Forrest?
Well, part of you.
Yeah.
I can see
you.
Your legs.
All right, I see you on that side of the room, and then oddly, I also see you on that side of the room at the very same time.
But you always got to look for the silver lining in everything, and
yeah,
I
sure.
picture, like, during a total eclipse, the only kid standing in the middle of the road staring right at the sun yeah. was Whitaker.
Yeah.
He's like, I got no problem here, man. I'll be looking at me, Santa.
What time period is this?
I don't know.
I'll be 1870s Louisiana.
I'll be looking
but all
right. at an eclipse. Y'all come out of your house now.
Yeah. Everyone
Forrest,
else has
I'm
the
looking
special
at that
glasses.
Eclipse.
Yeah.
yeah.
I got an eclipse eye.
Total eclipse of the eye.
Oh,
he starts singing it. Yeah,
go.
That's the soundtrack. What was the most rewarding and most challenging part of creating a cartoon?
Because
this was a
the
what,
most challenging part is it animation takes forever. So I pitched the show almost 6 years ago. I
yeah.
sold the
wow.
show to Disney.
That's right.
Almost 6 years ago, and then. You know, with animation, you have to, you know, you develop it, you develop the art, you write the script. Then we did a full pilot.
Yeah.
And so they had to animate the full pilot, and animation takes forever. So, and Disney's so meticulous, so once we had the pilot, they sent this thing all over the world to test market it to see what the reaction is. Fortunately, it was good
yeah.
globally.
Yeah.
And then we had to come back and kind of start all over again and do, now that we knew the show was greenlit, we had to do the real designs. We had to write 50 scripts because there's 50 episodes.
Wow.
And then they have to do all the animation. And so it's been a long, but it's rewarding. As I said, it came out looking and being better than I even
oh, yeah.
imagined. So I'm very happy.
What was the first moment like when you watched, like, I mean, you have been seeing so much of it through the whole process
yeah.
and getting, you know, dailies and them sending you animations. So
yeah.
you saw the whole thing. But I mean, did you sit down and watch the first episode when it aired? Like,
yeah, the wow factor was when we got, because it starts off as just drawings,
yeah.
and then it becomes an animatic, which is black and white pencil drawings
yep.
that the directors do of the
mm-hmm.
action.
To give you an idea of what it's going to look like.
And then they yeah. give you some color renderings, but the real wow factor was when we got our first 30 seconds back from the studio, and it was completely rendered with lighting.
Music.
And music, and just we saw what they were going to look like
right.
as a finished product, and it was just like, whoa, this looks like a Pixar movie. So
did you get choked up?
I didn't get choked up, but I like I said, I was like, this is better, bigger than I thought.
Yeah.
And what I didn't know when we started the show is I just thought it was going to be like in the US and Canada, but this mm-hmm. thing's going up in 150 countries globally. So this little cartoon's probably going to have a farther reach than my 30 years of being in the entertainment industry.
Wow,
it's just
amazing.
Bizarre. So,
and also introducing you to a whole new audience, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, not that they'll know who I am, but it's interesting because my name comes up right at the beginning of the, it says
yep.
Puppy Dog Pals created by Harlan Williams. So I've been getting a lot of social media reaction and
awesome.
Shout outs from people who are like, we had no idea this was yours, and they and so people are really surprised. So I guess older people are finding out about me that way.
But also, like, kids are on the internet so hard now, and it's like there could be a... And this business is so uncertain and flimsy that, like, there could be this whole movement of 10-year-olds that discover the show that become huge Harlan fans, look up all your stuff, find a lot of that clean material, and then all of a sudden you're getting booked. They're like, hey, Harlan, the Irvine Improv wants you for 10 sold-out shows at 3 p.m.
With kids.
Yeah.
I mean,
with kids and Forrest Whitaker's eye cut
out. Oh, sweet lumpkin.
People have been saying it. People have been saying it for years, and now it's finally come to fruition. Harlan Williams loves 10-year-olds. And that's what they've been saying for
years. I love their minds. I love the kids' minds.
Do you want kids ever?
If the right opportunity came around, I would definitely have kids, yeah.
Would you ever adopt, like, Big Daddy style?
I don't think I'd adopt, and
you'd
there's
have
nothing
to make it,
wrong with it, but in a selfish way, and I think it's because we're artists, or at least for me.
You like creating.
It's like I like creating, and I want to see... I don't know if this is selfish or just natural, but I want to see if I have an organic kid, if the child has any of my artistic ability or comedic ability or acting ability or whatever, or if the kid just goes completely in a different direction. But I feel like I want to have a kid that has my genes so I can see what it does, and if I do have any talents... Maybe I pass it on to them, and they have talents of their own. I guess it's just the curiosity. I hope that doesn't sound like
that's why people
self-censored,
have kids.
But
I think it's I mean, a lot of people have kids just because they want a little version of them running around.
Yeah, I guess so.
Just a little version of them, or something they can put their ideas into, so then they sort of live on and through their kids.
Do you want kids? Would you guys want kids?
Yeah, I mean,
well, I'm going to adopt Brad at some point.
I mean,
oh really?
So far,
it's a lot of paperwork because he's getting married.
He's only my legal guardian in Guatemala right now.
Wow.
But we're trying to get it legal in the States.
What's your son's name? That.
We're going to legally change it.
Yeah.
To that.
No, but Brad, you're gonna try pretty quick, right?
Yeah.
You're gonna have kids.
I'm about to get married in September.
There you go, bro.
And then we want kids, and I want to adopt, but I want to adopt a dwarf kid because not to get too deep on this thing. But there's a lot of like Asian dwarf babies that kind of get thrown out
for real.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, because like in China, they're only supposed to have one kid.
Yeah.
So if they have a dwarf, it's like, well, we don't want this one. We want a good kid or whatever.
No way.
Yeah. So then I want to adopt an Asian dwarf baby. That an Asian dwarf baby is the cutest thing on the planet.
I've seen the
pugs, but they got nothing on Asian dwarf baby.
Boy,
nothing. Wow. You can rob banks as with no gun. You just hold up an Asian dwarf baby a la Simba, and they just start giving you money.
Dude, Asian babies, forget about the dwarf.
Yeah,
they're cute as hell.
Yeah.
So
right.
You throw in it's a dwarf. that's like you might as well have a baby sloth.
Yeah,
you know?
And they'll reprogram your iPhone if you can't. All right, so
you should get a baby Asian dwarf if you can customize it with a Forrest Whitaker eye. That would be awesome.
Yeah, what sex position gets you that?
Yeah.
You
know, I don't know.
Some girls are like,
it.
On top gets you a boy. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah.
I've
heard that stuff.
There's like, apparently, I don't know what book it's in. Maybe it's like,
wait,
this is how
different positions?
This is how you fuck for the gender you want.
Whoa.
Right.
By Judy Blume. But
it's
forward by Donald Sutherland.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it's where certain positions get you a certain... I there's probably no rhyme or reason to it, right? But you have heard that.
That, and then I start to think, what kind of weird-ass positions did my parents do to get a midget?
The helicopter?
Really?
Yeah, like what?
A glory hole?
They did it in a tree.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you do it in a tree while eating cookies,
next to the popcorn machine.
Both on your knees. That's when.
Both on your knees.
Both
yeah.
on your knees. That's the secret. Then you get a dwarf kid.
Wow.
God, what is it? You know what? That way, that is a great bit.
Yes.
Because that is something that is like talked about and not.
Yeah, people say, "Oh, you got to do this for a boy." You know,
if you really stuck to that, like we've talked about, with that's another dwarf stereotype that people don't know. And if you sell it, people go, "Oh, then I guess that's how it happens."
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know. I'd never heard that. That's pretty wild.
Where do you have any names picked out for a kid? Because people always think of that.
For me?
Yeah. Or would you start with like...
I always wanted to this... I wanted... If I have a boy, I want to call him Cowboy. Cowboy Williams.
Cowboy Williams.
Oh, my God.
That sounds like a wrestler
That's
from the 80s.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
And if I have a girl, I want it to be Tumbleweed. Tumbleweed Williams.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Cowboy yep. and Tumbleweed.
Yep.
I like it.
I think Cowboy...
Mosey
you,
on over here, Cowboy.
If you ever met someone Cowboy, you'd yeah. never forget him.
Also...
I'd never forget him your whole life.
You want to be friends with him.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
for the sake of being like, Cowboy's coming to the party.
Yeah.
Who? Oh, you guys don't
Cowboy.
Know Cowboy?
You know
also,
Cowboy
Williams man. With Cowboy is such a
yeah,
great pairing.
It works, right?
Yeah, it's yeah. like it's like it's like traditional, and then you get a little different. I like yeah. that.
And then if you had a girl and she was just a cute little beautiful girl, and her name was Tumbleweed, and she had like messy hair.
Yeah,
like,
it's very Pippi Longstocking.
Forrest Gump. Yeah,
Forrest Gump. Yeah, yeah. Forrest Gump I was the or Forrest Whitaker I was the was
oh yeah
the,
that's it Forrest Whitaker I Forrest I said Forrest Gump I have an allergy my eye is swollen I ran right into Forrest Whitaker and my eye puffed up
that's what happened the forests collided yeah, one right. got a bad eye one got dumb
one got a major concussion one guy got guppy eye
also a flavor of Popcornopolis.
True, yeah, true. Guppy eye.
True.
Have you been on the road a bunch?
Yeah, man. Yeah. I've been doing something pretty interesting because I'm prepping for my next special.
I can't wait.
And so I've been going on stage as Caramel Corn the Pug. And
I saw this at the Comedy Store.
Were you there that night?
This is unbelievable.
Yeah. So on June 22nd in Irvine... I'm in the Irvine Improv. I'm shooting my next special as Caramel Corn the Pug. The whole special.
Now explain what that means.
Well, I've done a lot of specials.
Yes.
I've done a lot, and I'm
in
just,
theaters.
Yeah,
you've done the way that people do them.
HBO
right?
yeah. specials, Comedy yep, Central specials. Yeah, I've done I don't know 10, 50. I don't know.
Yeah.
And so now I'm at a point in my career where I want to do specials where I'm not just standing there in a T-shirt and jeans and doing my act.
Force of Nature, a great example.
I've done a lot of it. So my last special was out in the desert on a hill with no audience in the middle of the day, Force of Nature. And I'd been waiting for inspiration for my next special to come, and I knew I didn't want it to just be, you know, the same old thing for me. And I was in this weird shop, and I found a mask of a pug. It's a pug mask that fully articulates. When I move my mouth, the mouth on the mask moves. And so I'm doing I'm doing my whole special as Caramel Corn the Pug.
Oh my God.
Yeah. One of my favorite parts about this is the Comedy Store when you went up that night.
Yeah, I didn't. Oh yeah, did I see you that night?
No.
Okay.
But I was there, and it was like then I read the comments because someone like posted a picture of you on stage as Caramel Corn the Pug.
Yeah,
and the comments are like, oh great, they gave some bullshit hack a spot when a real comedian could have done. I'm like, that's Harlan. Like that,
yeah,
that,
right.
You got like they don't know it's you, so yeah. So they think it's like there was some guy. If you remember, there was a season of Last Comic Standing where a guy went up in a monkey costume.
Oh, really? No, I didn't know
and
that.
And he did one-liners as a monkey.
Oh, wow. No.
But they were monkey-themed one-liners.
Okay.
And, like, people went ape shit. I mean, no pun intended.
Yeah.
I honestly didn't try to do that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, people were all mad about it. It's like, what? It's goofy.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
silly. Why the hell not?
Well, I don't care if people get mad. It's my act. It's
yeah.
my show. So
yeah,
I'm going to
exactly.
do whatever I want. And it looks really, you know, I've been filming samples of it. And it just, it's something that I just... It's going to be fun for me. And
now, do you write pug themed jokes? Yeah.
No,
like
I'm doing my regular act. I'm doing my. I'm basically
I love
in
that
my
better.
Head is
I love that more.
Caramel Corn is just another comic slugging it out in the comedy world, and he finally got a special.
Are you going to do some sort of like like a sketch beforehand to give some backstory, or
we might do some green room interviews and stuff?
Yeah.
But no, he's just another guy that's been hitting the pavement, and he got a special.
If for any reason you do something where you interview other comedians to talk about their relationship with Caramel Corn and like, man, he's been hitting the road. This guy's literally a road dog. Like, he is out there, and he's
been taking his licks, you know?
Yeah.
I've never seen a comic bite a heckler before, but he actually bit also a heckler. All a heckler.
And some guys really just shit on stage, and and Caramel Corn, you know.
That was his closer early on. Yeah. He would take a shit on stage.
Yeah, so it's going to be fun, man. That's if anybody listening wants to come to the taping.
Oh, we'll plug it beforehand, too.
Yeah, it's June 22nd. June 22nd in Irvine. And if you want to see a dog do stand-up, it's going to be very unique and different and a lot of fun.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Now, because you say, like, you do these specials that are interesting and new and weird. I looked up your IMDb before before we did the podcast, and you have an upcoming project. I want to know if this is a real project or if literally you just did this as a goof.
I have a feeling it's not real already.
Because in Israel, you can go to Harlan Williams' IMDb page. It says you are making a movie called Wingman.
No, and not real.
Okay, because the description of this movie is, this movie is about a wing that is a man, a very big man, the size of a mountain, who holds captivation in Islamabad to fight aliens from Karkazbastan. That is on on your IMDb page right now.
Starring Whoopi Goldberg and Sigourney Weaver.
That's what I hate about you know, the information age we live in, because you know it's like I got stuff like that on my Wikipedia page. I got all this stuff that doesn't exist.
Really?
It's just
how do you monitor that?
You can't. I went in once. I spent like a whole day, because anyone can go on Wikipedia and put whatever they want. So I went back the next day and someone had changed everything back that I had.
So
fixed.
It's like, so why?
I was like, forget it. I've never even looked at my Wikipedia.
Like, that's the thing, is who's checking that every day to make sure that their Harlan facts are still there?
I know. It's very weird. And the fact you can't change your own story is strange.
But then at the same time, because your stand up and your characters are always so silly and so random, and you've been brought up on, you're going to do stand up with a pug mask, and I've brought you on stage before as Larry from Fresno.
That's a popular one.
Like reading those weird facts, we're like, okay, that's probably Harlan.
Yeah, really. That sounds like something I might do, to be honest.
Yeah,
but,
just put something fake on your IMDb
people
page.
People will believe it. Yeah.
Since you're prepping for the special as Caramel Corn, but are you? So is it going to be weird to then have the dog mask in the special, but you haven't been doing it on the road?
Well, I've been doing it on the road a bit, yeah.
With the mask.
What I've been doing is I've been opening for myself. So I'll go to a club.
Oh, my God.
The MC will introduce Caramel Corn. I'll come out and do like 10 minutes as Caramel Corn.
Yeah.
Then my real opener will come out, and then I'll come out after my opener.
So you do a guest spot for yourself.
I do a guest spot for myself as Caramel Corn the Pug. So it's a good way to just get used to doing them and practicing. And
are you changing your voice at all?
A little bit, and it's kind of a result of just being in the mask and kind of how. So I'm kind of.
Well, you feel like a character.
Yeah, a little bit. So I'm kind of a little bit of the Big Lebowski, like, hey, what's going on, man? Caramel Corn the Pug here, bro. What's going on, bro?
I like that he says Caramel Corn the Pug. In case you weren't aware.
Yeah.
Well, how do people respond to it when you go up and then?
Well, the first time I went out, I was a little bit nervous because I thought, you know, people are they won't know what to think. And I didn't know what to think. But I literally did, like, I did material from my act, and it worked. People were laughing. Mm-hmm. And people, you know, some nights it was stronger, some nights it was weaker. The night you saw me at the Comedy Store, it wasn't a particularly strong night. But what's interesting with Caramel Corn is he looks so, it's so bizarre to see him up there. I can just stand there and kind of look around the room with the ears flapping, and people are tittering. Like, that's they're laughing awesome. Without me even saying anything. So.
Yeah, and like you say, the mask is such that when you talk, the mouth moves.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's kind of freaky to people.
Right, and it's helped sell it, you know?
Right, absolutely. It's still absurd, but in a weird way, you can still do expressions on the dog's face, and you still and people still get it. So.
Yeah, and I'm a little more physical. The night you saw me, I just kind of stood there.
Yeah,
right. Some nights I go out very minimalistic, just to see if the writing and the appearance work. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean,
but when I do the special, yeah. I'm going to be moving around a lot.
Sure,
more,
you're going to lift your leg and pee on someone in the front row. You
Puppy
know?
Wants to play, bro.
It'd be great to do some sort of like you saying goodbye to like your folks or something and be like, all right, guys, I'm going to go to the special, and having actual pugs. And they just don't react. And then you cut back to you being like, they're supportive. They just don't say it a lot.
They don't communicate very well. What's up, bro? It's caramel corn.
Now, like, and you're a guy where I love that you don't try to fit some particular mold, rather be creating kid shows or going on stage and performing with a pug mask. Like, you do what you want to do in this business. You're not a guy that feels like, okay, well, I've got to be this guy because that's what people want and that's what sells or that's what works. Like, you're just like, no, I'm just going to do what I feel like doing, and then people will come along for the ride.
That's right. That's called life, man. You're only here once, so you just, you know, one of the reasons we're artists is to do what we want to do. I think a lot of us became artists because we didn't want to fit a mold. We didn't want to follow a path. We wanted to forge a path. We wanted to be free to express and create. And
1,000%.
So, that's what the entertainment industry is. And sometimes it's befuddling to people, and sometimes it's risky, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But I think you guys know this. The reward is, like, every time you guys do new material, you're really walking out on the ledge. You don't know. That's kind of the beauty of what you do. You're just out there on your own doing your thing.
Do you still get nervous when you go out with new material, or is it just exciting at this point?
I do get a little nervous, I think. Yeah, I get a little insecure, because when you go out with, you know, seasoned material, there's no trepidation. But when you go out with stuff that you've never tried before, you're like, oh, geez, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a chef putting down a new type of food, and he's worried if people are going to like it. And that's kind of what we experience, I think. But it's exhilarating at the same time, because you're, you know, that unknown is what kind of gets your heartbeat going. And it's fun.
And it's fun every time you do a new joke and it works. It never gets old. It's just never like, well, I knew that was going to happen. Because, no, you don't know what's going
to
happen.
And when it works, you go, oh, man, I want to do another set just to make sure that it worked. Yeah.
You know what I've liked about it that you did that I picked up on that I've adapted is not having – and it's fine that people do have, like, the notes up there when they're doing new material, I guess. But, like – when I never saw when you were the first time I think I started opening for you, you would tell me about new bits, and I would see you doing them, and you were doing them as if they were a part of your act, like to really sell them, and not like looking down at something or even mentioning that it was new and giving it a chance to be received that way, and not having like a crutch. Sometimes I feel like having the notes up there when people try something new, and then if it doesn't work, they can be like, oh, whatever, and still try to save it with that. And so I was like, oh, I like that he just put it in there and didn't let them know that it was new, to give him the best chance to get a reaction, I feel like.
Yeah, well, one of the things I do with new material is I traditionally, about 90% of the time, I open with it. It's the first joke I'll do because I'm like, if it can hammer them for the first thing out of my mouth, they don't know, they haven't heard me on stage yet. If it works in that moment, I know it's strong. You know?
Yeah, and that's what every sort of seasoned comic tells you not to do. Every guy says, okay, open with stuff you like that works, and then close with stuff you like that works.
No, I like to just come out with the new stuff and just...
It's honest at that point.
Yeah.
You're not... Because it's not piggybacking off stronger laughs that you've gotten in the beginning. You haven't earned their trust yet as the headliner, so... If it works up top, it's good.
I think it's
good stuff.
For me, it forces it too. You know how, let's say you do a thing in the middle of your act, a new bit, and you go, oh, that kind of worked. And they go, okay, next time I'll put a little seasoning on it. I'll change three words. I'll put an inflection here. I'll do this to make it work. When I do my new bits right out of the gate, the first joke out of my mouth, I find it forces me to find the seasoning
real
immediately.
Quick. Yeah, real quick.
And so it's like I'm finding that stuff right out of the gate, so that in my head I'm like, I don't want people to know this is the first time I've done this joke.
Yeah,
so while I'm delivering it for the first time, my my brain's finding all the little inflections, all the little flavors that I normally would have probably taken 4 or 5 shows to find if I'd stuck it in the middle and just kind of hit it with everything else. So it puts a lot of pressure on me, but I like that, and I find that the joke finds itself, its voice.
You're giving more
really
attention
quick.
To it if you do it up top, right?
It's really, you're really like pampering it immediately, you know?
I like
it's
one of the things you did the first time I went on the road with you were, you know, I was doing a lot of jokes about Wolverine. I think I had my Pimp My Ride joke in there, and you went up there and you basically were like, guys, you know, so I've been Wolverine for the last 5 years, and, you know, exhibit put a popcorn machine in my fucking trunk, and this is all new material, folks. I'm just trying to work it out real quick.
I love it.
Yeah.
It
well, I love when comics feel free to do stuff like that on the road that sort of breaks up the monotony of always doing, you know, the same act every night. Like,
trying to play around with it. Yeah.
Do you do much? I know that you're like very, you know, informed, like just with like news and stuff. But do you like doing topical stuff or like?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah. You know, sometimes if you know it's I don't do it every time, but when I hit on something that's topical and funny, and you know, I'm not afraid. I won't back away from it.
Do you try to jump into anything politically right now? That's or is it just?
Well, I did during the election. I mean, I had a Make America Great hat, and I would wear it on stage.
Yeah,
and I think I'm the only guy in Hollywood who likes Trump.
Yeah,
and it was really it actually made me sad because I would go on stage. This was pre-election before Trump won, and I would ask people in the crowd, "Does this hat offend you? Does it? How does it make you feel?" And people were afraid to answer, and then I said, well, is there anyone here voting for Trump? And this was at several shows, and not one person would answer. Wow. And I'd be in a sold-out room, and I'd say, folks, there's 350 people in this room. Are you telling me no one's voting for Donald Trump? And I'm telling you, it took me saying that about 3-4 times before maybe one person would put their hand up. And I just went, man, this is America. Like, people shouldn't be afraid if they're voting communist or socialist or Bernie or Hillary. Like, it made me really sad to see that Americans were afraid to say who they like.
Yeah.
And I got that goes against the very fabric of this country, and it upset me. You know, I don't care who you vote for. I think you should vote for whoever you want. But when people in this country are afraid to say who they're voting for, that just made me sad.
And maybe and maybe when you are afraid to say, either that says that you're worried, like maybe you're afraid about your choice, or you're not too confident in your choice, but also you're afraid of the chastising that you're going to get from other people.
Well, I don't think it's in my opinion, I don't think it's about you're afraid about your choice. I think I got the sense that people were afraid of the baggage people put on the choice.
Yeah.
So you know, it's like, oh, you like Trump, then you're a homophobe, you're an Islamophobe, you're a racist, and, you know,
categorize you.
There's great people that, you know, is John Voight all those things? Is Clint Eastwood all those things? Is, you know, are all these people your friends that you may know or family that vote, are they those things? No, they're not. So it's like, it was very, I just thought it was very sad to see. It made me sad that people were fearful.
Now, but you can't vote in elections, though, here.
I can. I'm dual.
You're a dual citizen.
I'm dual. I became an American just after the Obama election. And by the way, if I could have voted the first time for Obama, I would have. I liked him. See, I don't vote parties. I vote what I hear from people and what I like. But so, believe it or not, this election was the very first time I ever voted.
Wow.
I've never voted in my life. I like Trump.
Feel?
It felt good, and then my guy won. I won money because people were betting against me that he would lose. I said, "Great, let's go. He's going to win." And so I won some money.
Why did you think he was going to win?
Because I felt like he was tapping into things that were relevant to the time, important to people. They're extreme. They aren't comfortable, but there's stuff going on in the world that's not comfortable, and I felt like, even though he's a big kind of charismatic character, he was addressing those things. Yeah, he was addressing the things that I think were realistic as opposed to political talking points, which a lot of politicians to me do.
And we travel the country so much, all of us, that we see all these places that he was speaking to, right? And it's...
Well, yeah, and, you know, I didn't think of it in terms of that. I just thought, you know, what in terms of just watching him and hearing... I didn't, you know, so I was excited by it. I think America's built on renegades and built on people that think out of the box and built on, you know, guys that are guys and girls that are just pioneers and you know you're not sure what they're made of but somehow they have the goods and this guy brought it home. It was pretty historic and amazing to watch.
Well, it was pretty insane.
I know.
Just to watch on that night, just to go like, whoa, that actually happened.
It was wild. I was sitting there with some friends and I just slowly started realizing he's going to win this damn thing. Everyone was so upset. All my friends hate me for it. Like, I don't think I have one friend in Hollywood that likes him. And they like me even less for liking him. I mean, they're still my friends.
Separate,
we have fun debates, sure. But they don't like it that I like them. But, you have to like, you got to follow who you want to follow.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, yeah, I think you'll be you're the minority in this room of that support, but listen, you're my buddy,
of course,
and like we hang out. And you're a good dude.
I was torn because, you know, Forrest Whitaker's right eye voted for Hillary, but his left voted for Trump. So, and I'm a big Whitaker guy, so I was like, now I don't know which way to go.
Which Whitaker do you like?
Yeah. Which way the wind blows, which way the eye falls. I do want to say before we wrap up, which, by the way, Puppy Dog Pals airs Saturday mornings.
Fridays
mornings.
Yeah.
At what time?
So I think it's 10 o'clock or something.
So stay home from your jobs if you're an adult.
Sure.
Yeah. And watch this show.
Yeah, but it's everywhere. They have a YouTube channel. They have an app.
Everything's
the Disney
on
Junior
demand.
App. So, you can find it all over the place.
Can't recommend it enough.
Thank you.
You really crushed it, man.
Thank
you. Like, I know all the years and work you put in. It was.
And I tried to get you in for a voice, which was that was something that was frustrating. It was a little tougher than I thought, getting my buddies in for voices. You know, Disney's such a big machine. They really like to go for the celebs and all that. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm hoping if the show's a hit, I can bring in some more of my friends and get them to do voices. So it ain't over yet.
I feel like the part I read for, too, was like right up my alley.
Well, you know who got that part? Speaking
Danny
of celebs.
DeVito?
No. Forrest Huey Whitaker. Lewis. Huey Lewis got that part.
Huey Lewis beat me out?
Uh-huh. All right.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, now Adam's okay. Power of Love beat you out?
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Come on, guy.
So that's what I mean.
Coincidentally, that's what I call my penis, is Huey Lewis.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought it was the news.
No, that's what he calls his balls.
Okay. That's
So he goes to women and goes, are you ready for Huey Lewis in the news?
Here comes the news.
Here comes the power of love.
Wow.
Right after the power pound.
It hurts to be square.
Oh my god. Well, I do want to ask you, I read something recently and I just want to get your opinion on it. And Brad, you too.
Sure.
Because it was, you know, I love stories like this and it makes me go, you know, oh, this country is great, because things like this you just don't read about. And with all the crazy news that's happening on a daily basis, it's nice to read about these types of stories. Like when that guy ate somebody's face on bath salts, I was like, that was crazy, but a little fun to read about, because
also
I was like,
Florida.
Oh man. Or when, you know, I have this in my act where a woman stabbed her boyfriend in the stomach because he farted on her head. You know, like,
wow.
Crazy, right?
Yeah.
Crazy violent acts. So this happened, and I want to get both you guys' opinions, and then we'll wrap up. A married couple in Florida, Tito and Amanda Watts, were arrested a few days ago for selling golden tickets to heaven to hundreds of people. They sold the tickets on the street for $99 per ticket, told buyers the tickets were made from solid gold, and that each ticket reserved the buyer a spot in heaven. Simply present the ticket at the pearly gates, and you're in. Tito Watts said in his police statement, I don't care what the police say. The tickets are solid gold, and it was Jesus who gave them to me behind the KFC and said to sell them so I could get some money to go to outer space. I met an alien named Stevie who said if I got the cash together, he'd take me and my wife on his flying saucer to a planet that's made entirely of drugs. You should arrest Jesus because he's the one that gave me the golden tickets and said to sell them. I'm willing to I'm willing to wear a wire and set Jesus up. Amanda Watts said in her police statement, we just wanted to leave Earth and go to space and do drugs. I didn't do nothing. Tito sold the golden tickets to heaven. I just watched. Police said they confiscated over $10,000 in cash, drug paraphernalia, and a baby alligator.
Wow.
Sounds like they were already on drugs. They don't have to go anywhere.
Don't you, like, I read things like that, and a part of me, I guess, feels bad, because I go, man, like, But also I go, fuck, maybe get you guys to Hollywood and get you in a writer's room. Because that's, there's maybe a, I don't know. What, when you hear stories like that, I'm just very curious. Like, you know, there's comedy there too, yeah. But I'm also a, you know, a human being with feelings and empathy. So yeah. I go, oh, fuck. Like, I don't know what happened prior to that moment to where that, those thoughts entered their brain. But I guess if you got a golden ticket, Harland, where would you want it to be for?
Heaven, right?
Hope so.
Isn't that what they're selling, tickets to heaven?
Yeah. By the way, if you're dumb enough to buy a ticket...
$99, that's a reasonable
$99
price.
$99, like...
And there was a guy outside of a KFC?
Yeah. If you're dumb enough... Like, that guy shouldn't be arrested, in my opinion. If you're dumb enough to buy that ticket, that's on you.
Oh, it's Jesus, by the
smart.
Way.
I think it's smart. There was, about 15 years ago, my ex-girlfriend bought me a little piece of real estate on the moon. There was a company...
What?
That was selling real estate on the moon. So you could, technically, I own a little piece of the moon. But there was a company selling it, and people were buying it because it was such a novelty. So
was it Jesus outside of a Quiznos?
No, it was a Carl's Jr. and
or Hardee's if you're in the Midwest.
True.
That's amazing.
But you know, the concept of someone buying, selling tickets to heaven.
Yeah.
Actually, I bet you could actually make money off it, and people would buy them.
Sure.
You know?
I mean, hell, a popular gift is that you name a star after someone.
Right, right. See? So silly little things
people
that aren't attainable.
That. Yeah.
People will buy it just because it's a gimmick, or in their head it gives them peace of mind. Or
like, we should sell estate on Jupiter and say, when we colonize Jupiter...
It's like the Pet Rock. It's the Pet Rock marketing scheme, and it's you know, this guy's kind of smart, but he's also, if he cut out all the KFC and Jesus stuff
and outer space,
and just sold a ticket to heaven, I bet he'd make some money.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm gonna buy one.
Well,
also, isn't there some sort of Wonka corporation that has like copyright laws?
Oh yeah, the gold.
Well, I know about that. And what I will say is that my former boss, William Z. Wonka.
You now work for the law firm Oompa and Loompa?
Yeah. Oompa Loompa and Stein. You know, you got to have one Jew.
You
got to
have
there.
A Stein in there.
You got to have one Jew. And they are drafting copyright laws, and they are going to sue this guy because he was the original guy with the golden tickets.
What would be your one golden ticket place if you could go to? Like the Amazon. Ooh. Like what's next on the Harland vacay travel plan?
Playboy Mansion in the 80s.
Wow, that's a goodie.
That's actually a great
Farrah Fawcett, yeah.
Yummy. There you go.
I think
Farrah Fawcett
next,
popcorn flavor.
The next thing I want to do is...
Too soon?
No.
Well, not, right. not soon enough.
Yeah. Take me the Charlie's Angel lightly buttered. I've never done the Orient. I wouldn't mind going to China and motoring around in China.
You ever think about getting a camera crew? Like, you're so funny and fun to hang out with that I feel like you got, like, you in these places, fish out of water.
It would be good. I wish I could. But the problem is when I go to these exotic places, I like to kind of zone in, and especially as a nature guy, you don't want a bunch of people around when you're looking for nature.
And then if you find something, you don't want to have a moment and then have the director go, okay, we missed that. Do that again.
Yeah, and, you know, it's just too much commotion. You're bringing a lot of clutter with you, and nature is about decluttering.
Have you done an African safari?
I've done several, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Are they great? I want to do that.
Yeah. It's one of the best things I've ever done in my life. They're amazing.
I've heard multiple people say that. Yeah. I'm just worried that some lion's going to see me and be like, appetizer.
Yeah.
And they will.
Yeah.
What's well, just hope the lion. There, just hope the lion is Forrest Whitaker. Harland Williams has been our guest. You're the best.
Thank you. And don't forget,
we do it all at the beginning, but do it.
Oh, okay.
But do it now, too.
Just a reminder, if you want to see Carmel Corn the Pug
at Irvine Improv.
June 22nd, we'll be taping two shows, one at 7:30, one at 9:45.
Oh, my God.
So come on out and have a giggle.
And all that info at harlandwilliams.com.
harlandwilliams.com.
Carmel Corn will hump the leg of a very lucky lady in the front row.
There you go. There's our con. There's our golden ticket item.
And Huey Lewis will be in the audience signing autographs after.
And by that, he means Adam Ray's dick.
Maybe. Maybe I don't. Maybe I don't.
That's take him out, bro. You
come to the
job.
Show. You got to find out.
But yeah, thanks for news. Having me here.
And all your tour. Yeah, so you're on the road and all your tour dates.
Yeah,
and the Harlan Highway podcast.
Harlan Highway podcast. Yeah, yeah. I got to get you guys back on.
Yeah. Last time we did was the debate one.
Yeah. I don't think I've had any guests on. I rarely have guests on my podcast, but I think you guys might have been the last.
I think
guests
it's time.
I had. Yeah.
Well, I mean, we pretty much closed it down. You're like, after Adam and Brad,
that was fun.
No
that
one's going to follow that.
That
so
was good.
There's a show in that.
Have us back.
Yeah. I will. Thank you for having me, guys.
You're the best.
Treat.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.